It is a real joy and a great privilege to be with you this evening, and I'm very grateful to the invitation from Rector Hugh and Anna Bishop to come here and be with you. And we thank God for your ministries and the great impact All Souls have on the church worldwide. Especially in our region of the Middle East, Langham Trust helped quite a lot in equipping many church leaders from all over the world in many denominations. And I would not be exaggerating if I said that through your ministries, you were able to shape the mind and disciple thousands, if not millions, of Christians worldwide through the books you produce for John Stott and Chris Wright and others as well. May the Lord bless you and use you more and more for the expansion of his kingdom. Today, as Anna announced, we focus on the refugees and what can we do, how can we help in this issue of refugees. And you probably noticed last week in the news and the media how these news and focused on the issue of refugees and how the European countries started to take actions to solve the problems of refugees. This happened after the spread of the photo of the drowned Syrian refugee child on the beaches of Turkey. This photo spread all over the media, the Facebook and the newspaper and other places in the TV channels as well. And I'm sure there are many other children and young people who drowned in the same way while crossing the Mediterranean Sea to reach the shores of Europe and to find refuge there. But this photo was so disturbing and heartbreaking to all people who watch it. The photo didn't only tell about the death of the Syrian child refugee, but also revealed that the conscience of the international community is also dead. We in the Middle East think that the world watches these devastating situations in Syria, Iraq, South of Sudan, and other places, but does very little to stop the conflicts and the wars and the suffering of the people. Moreover, many Western countries refuse to receive those victims who are escaping for their lives. The positive outcome of this photo of the Syrian child is that it moved the public opinion in Europe and put pressure on the governments in order to take an emergency actions, which they took recently to accept more refugees. In the morning, we reflected on one of the refugees who is very important and very precious, and we all love him, Jesus. Jesus, the refugee. He was a refugee in Egypt with his family. And this evening, I will reflect on Leviticus. We read Deuteronomy, but it is the same words about loving the foreigners among us feeding him, so loving him in action. And I want to reflect and meditate on the verses in Leviticus to see what the Lord wants us to do with the refugees and the strangers who come to our countries. Let me read these two verses from Leviticus 19:33 and 34. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not ill-treat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native-born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. It is very similar to what we read in Deuteronomy. But notice here at the end of these two verses, God himself is speaking to his people. He concludes his commandments by saying, I am the Lord your God. This emphasizes the importance of this commandment in regard to how his people should deal with the strangers and refugees. As if he is saying, it is me who is speaking. It's me. Listen very carefully. Take it seriously. Take this commandment seriously. It is me. I am the Lord your God. I'm talking to you. Listen to this. And when we look to his commandment, this commandment we read, we see that it has three components to it. The first component is do not ill-treat them. Do not ill-treat them. Do not ill-treat refugees or strangers. In other words, we should avoid unkind and harsh dealing with them. When governments refuse to accept and receive refugees, they are forced to use illegal and risky ways to come to a safer country, to come to a refuge. This is ill treatment. For us as a church, we cannot turn a blind eye when we see the suffering of strangers and refugees who try to escape for their lives from wars and conflicts in their own countries. The second component of the verse is this: treat them as your native born. In other words, treat them as equal citizens. They should not in any way be deprived of their rights as human beings. Paul wrote to the Romans, accept one another. Accept one another. Just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. In other words, accept them in order to bring glory and praise to God. Accept them as I accept you. We were enemies and deserve not to be citizens in the kingdom of God. And yet, Jesus, through his love that was incarnated in the cross, welcomed us in his kingdom. Not only that, but we became his own children. And now we dare to call him Abba, Father. So he adopted us and we became his children. Treat them as your native born. Be equal citizens. The third component of the verse is this: love them as yourself. Love them as yourself. That part of the commandment is the most difficult one, because it is naturally, it's so difficult for us to love the strangers, to love the people we don't know, to love the people who don't love us, to love the people who may be suspicious and may even harm us. It is a risk to love someone who is a stranger. A great risk, but the Lord say, love them as yourself. How can we do this? We can only do this if we remembered our past. And the Lord in the verse says this, for you were foreigners in Egypt. So if the Egyptian treated you well, remember to treat them well. If the Egyptian didn't treat you well and enslaved you, as it happened in the last days, treat these foreigners well. Don't do like the Egyptian. So remember your past. Remember that you were foreigners in Egypt. Indeed, we were all foreigners to God's kingdom. And yet, he welcomed us into his kingdom. But also we can love and welcome if we are convinced that our mission is to convey God's love to the world. Yes, in the verses we read from Deuteronomy, God is saying, I chose you above all nations. It's true. He chose the people of Israel above all nations. But in Exodus 19, he turned back and said to them, but all the nations belong to me. So yes, I choose you, but your mission is to convey my love so that all the nations would know me. And all the knees will come and bow for me. And they know the truth. So it's not because we are very special. We ignore the others, but we are special. His grace met us and rescued us in order to bring others to him, to convey his love to others. And this would encourage us when we remember that our mission is to do this, is to do with others this, to do with other nations, to other refugees, to convey the love and the grace of God, because all the earth is his. All the earth is his. So we need to welcome other people. So by his grace, we can love other people, strangers and refugees. My brothers and sisters, the problem of refugees, of the refugees in the world today, is bigger than what we can imagine. It is said that the number of the people forcibly displaced at the end of 2014 has risen to a staggering number. The number now is 59.5 million refugees. A country, a big country, not a small country, a country like Britain here. 59.5 million refugees compared to 51.2 million last year and 37.5 million a decade ago. The increase represents the biggest leap ever seen in a single year. Moreover, the recent United Nations High Commission for Refugees report mentioned that the situation is likely to worsen still further. Globally, all over the world, one every 122 humans, one every 122 humans is now either a refugee or internally displaced or an asylum seeker. This is disturbing. Since early 2011, the main reason for the rise of the number of refugees has been the war in Syria. Now, the world's single largest driver of displacement. Every day last year, on average, 42,500 people became refugees, asylum seekers, or internally displaced. Just imagine 42,000 every day leave their homes and go away. It's like the whole village or the whole small town on the moved, became refugees or asylum seekers. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees said it is terrifying that on the one hand, there is more and more impunity for those starting conflicts, and on the other, there is seeming utter inability of the international community to work together to stop wars and build and preserve peace. And the question in front of us today, in view of what we read in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and also in view of what Jesus said, I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was a refugee and you invited me in. What we should do today? In view of these disturbing numbers and disturbing facts, I think we should do three things. First, to welcome and help refugees. Second, to participate in the development of the countries they come from. And thirdly, to be actively involved in peace building. First, we need to welcome and help refugees. In order to do this, we need to put more and more pressure on our governments to develop in the developed countries to accept more refugees. Lebanon, the very small, tiny country next door to Syria of 5 million population and very, very low economy, already accepted 1.5 million Syrian refugees in Lebanon, more than all the countries in Europe. And other neighboring countries did the same, but to a lesser extent. We in Egypt accepted 250,000 Syrian refugees, in addition to 2.5 million African refugees who are already present in Egypt. After welcoming refugees in the country, the churches can then cooperate with the government and the UNHCR to provide for the needs of the refugees in a more holistic way, meeting their spiritual needs, physical needs, and social needs. I was so encouraged by the appeal made by Pope Francis when he asked every parish in Europe to host a refugee family. It's so important that these refugees may encounter the love of Jesus in us. In our refugee program, it's called Refugee Egypt. We have a program called Refugee Egypt. We have another program in Ethiopia. We deal with thousands of refugees. We help them to find accommodation and shelters. In fact, Some of our churches in Ethiopia, the whole church, became shelters for the thousands who walked in from Sudan, south of Sudan. We also have programs to build their capacities so that they can find jobs. And we provide education for their children, as well as health care through our clinics. I'm sure you can do much better here than us in these areas. Let us see Jesus in each one of them, and let us hear him saying, "I was a refugee, and you invited me in." I will never forget the scene in the film Les Miserables, when this man who escaped from the prisoner, Jean Valjean, came and he knocked the door of the bishop, and the bishop accepted him, although he is a suspicious stranger. And Jean Valjean actually attacked the bishop and stole all his silver. And yet, Jean Valjean encountered God's grace at the time with the bishop. And he was able to convey this grace of God to many others later on when he repented and became a new person. This happened also when we welcome refugees. Their life can be transformed by the grace we can share with them. Secondly, we need to participate in the development of countries from where the refugees come from. In other words, we need to share our resources in order to develop these poor countries. And supporting education will decrease the frequency of wars and conflicts and tribal fighting, because ignorance contributes to these wars. Investing in the poor countries will create jobs, opportunities, and reduce unemployment. This will reduce the refugees who come for economic reasons. If we fail to do this, we will see masses of people moving from south to north. So we have to do something. If you want the whole of Africa coming your way here, you have to do something. My friends, let us remember what Jesus said. Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. Thirdly, to be actively involved in peace building when there are wars. And I know with this part we may say this is a political action. Only people in the House of Lords or in the House of Commons or in the government can work on this, but not us at the grassroots in the churches. It is true, but we can pray for peace, and also we can put pressure on our governments to promote peace and to work for peace. When we turn blind eyes on the wars that are going on other continents, we may soon find it happening at our doorsteps. In this regard, we need to constantly pray for peace of the world and encourage our government. And remember what Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." I want to say, last year, a young man, a Syrian young man, came to my office and said, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about the Bible. And I said, why? He said, because I'm fed up with the bloodshedding in the name of religion in Syria. And also, I'm touched by the love I see here in the church. And it was a great opportunity. I spent a good time with, I was rejoiced to study the Bible with him. I don't know what he did now, but he did say to UNHCR, I converted. Another story before I end. A refugee from Eritrea came to the hospital where I worked as a medical doctor before. And he had an operation. And in the evening, he would sit and talk with the nurses. And they shared the good news with him. And he was eager to read the gospel. So he read the gospel. The next week, he came with many questions. And he gave his life. But several weeks after, he said, I'm going back to Eritrea. I said, but the war is still going on. That at the time of the war between Ethiopia and Eritrea. It's risky for you. And he said, it's okay. The most important thing is for my father and my son to know the truth. I want to share the truth with them. So you will be amazed when you welcome refugees. It is risky indeed, but you will be amazed how the Lord will work through your welcome and love. It's a great opportunity. You have a great opportunity here in England to show the love of God to the refugees. Again, I am saying it is risky, but it is rewarding. My hope and prayer that we welcome and help the refugees not out of duty, but in response to God's love. Not out of humanitarian drive, but also out of God's grace, which we encountered and we enjoy now. May the Lord bless you and use you. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the verses we read this evening from your word, from the scripture. And thank you for your commandment to us to accept, to welcome, to love, to share with the foreigners who come in our midst, with the refugees. Lord, we cannot do this without your grace. We cannot do this without your heart. We cannot do this without your compassion. Lord, give us the opportunities, open doors for us to encounter them and meet them and help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.